I want to talk about? Wait, what now? Well, when you deal with a Jehovah's Witness, I can remember one morning I was going in to buy something at a little convenience store, and this little girl came up to me and with her stuff to hand out, and she was asking me something about if I knew that, if I knew something, she says. And I asked, I said, well, no, I don't know. She said, well, you know, it's in the Tetragrammaton. I said, well, does that tell you how to get eternal life? Whatever the meaning of it is? She said, well, what do you mean? I said, what I want to be educated about first is what must I do to be saved? I said, and your program is totally different from what a true believer's program is. I said, you know, you got to issue out so many watchtowers. You got to, you know, it's not about the Greek, it's not about the Hebrew, it's not about none of that, because if it was, everybody in Greece would be saved, right? So, what is your plan to get to heaven? And it's a sidetrack. You know, it's just like you're witnessing to somebody, and all of a sudden, they say, well, you believe Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days? It's a sidetrack. It's Satan using any kind of interference he can to keep out the gospel. So when you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, if you tell him, say, well, okay, where can I go in that word you just gave me to find out how I can have a relationship with a sinless God? How can I do that? Give me a verse. Give me a place to go. You know, because it's just, it really is. Paul in the Tetragrammaton, and you shall be saved. Now, if you can show me a verse and that, whatever you want to call it, that agrees with Acts 16, 30, and 31, then we can have a conversation. But we can't have a conversation if you're just going to throw some words. And I get it with the inmates in jail sometimes. You know, well, you believe this or you believe this. Well, and I said, well, let's examine it and see if it's true. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you talk to the Yahweh people, and that's the first thing they're going to throw up at you. Well, what does, I don't care what it says. What does the Bible say? What does the whole Bible say? From Genesis to Revelation, it's said this way. God instituted one law to the first man and the first woman. We all see how that worked out. Then later, when the world got so bad, and he says, let's just start over. Let's just hit a rebuild. Then he gave a set of laws. And you say, well, how did man deal with it? They broke them. They broke all of them. So my point being, now you fast forward to Jesus Christ, and everything you read back then that in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and everything you read back there was about the coming of Jesus Christ. You can't get away from that issue. You know, well, Christ said it himself. Y'all believe and y'all trust in Moses. Well, he had to believe Moses. He said, Moses wrote about me, right? In Deuteronomy 18:15, prophet is coming, and that prophet was Jesus Christ. The very last one, by the way. You say, how do you know? Because you go to the book of Hebrews, and it says, in times past, he spoke to the fathers and the prophets, and everybody he spoke to in the Old Testament in various and sundry ways, right? Whirlwinds, jackasses, rocks, all kinds of ways he communicated. But in these last days, he has spoken, has passed in his son. So you better listen to the last prophet, Jehovah's Witness. And that's substantiated in the book of Acts, the Gospel of John, Luke, all of them. Is this that prophet? That's the thing that hung the Pharisees up. Is this that prophet that Moses spoke about that was going to come and speak the last words? Yes, he is that prophet. And the Bible says what? Hear him. John 17, when Christ himself prays in his prayer, he simply says, I have given them thy word. That is his disciples there. They have kept it. The word kept, they mean believed it. For this reason, you keep them. So I simply ask the Jehovah's Witness, who are you being kept by? Do you think that the Father would not answer the prayer of the Son? As many as you give me, I will lose none. Why? Because you're going to keep them. So ask them, are you kept? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that what you believe is going to get you to heaven? And the answer to that always been astounding. No. No religion would tell you that. No, you can't know for sure. So don't listen at the hype of how they try and distract you. And trust me, they don't know that they're distracting you. That's just what they believe. Paul says in Corinthians, you believe, that's what you teach. Believe in healing, you're going to teach healing. Believe in tongues, you're going to teach tongues. Believe in hyperdispensation, that's what you're going to teach over and over and over. But yet faith come by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. What? In context. And all these other stuff is way out of context. It's one thing you can rest assured that is that every religion, well, 99.9% of every religion comes from the Bible. Think about that one. How so? It comes from the Bible. Not in context, but it comes from the Bible. You take a context, you make a pretext, and you get a following. Go to your church because you're preaching. Give 100, get 100,000. Go to your church because if I got arthritis, you can touch me and heal me. All that came from, it comes from the Word of God out of context. Right. But it's so easy, and that's a good analogy and a good way to answer what they're trying to get you to see. I asked him. I got a nephew by marriage. He's a, I don't know what you call this. One of these whatever. The same way, there was no J's, and I asked him, I said, well, how would you spell Joshua? Well, what you got, you go to the Hebrew, it's just a diction, it really is. That's all it is. So, let's say you're right. Let's say you're 100% right. Let's just call him Jesus. Oh, you can't do that. It wasn't on J. Well, let's call him Christ. Yeah, but let's call him Savior. Let's call him King. Let's call him Lord. Let's call him entities. And as Craig says, I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness. He used the same thing on me. Go to John chapter 1. We can go there. I put it on the screen. I asked him this question. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 10, John writes this. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that simply believed, because he's going to explain it in the rest of the verse. But as many as received him gave the power to become sons of God, and to them that believe in his name. Now you ask a Jehovah's Witness this. Explain verse 12 to you. You say, well, why is that important? Because in the very first verse, it says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and the Word was God, right? Well, they would tell you that should read in the world, and the Word was God. That's little God, big God, all kinds of God. So when you get to verse 12, I asked him if I believe in him, which one of those gods I become a son of? Because verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. Which God is that? Is that a little God? Is that a big God? Who am I a son of? Can't answer the question. They cannot answer the question. Now, if there's many gods, and I agree which of that is, but there's one, that's the way, the truth, and the life, that's the one we're talking about here. We're talking about the one in John who made everything. Everything was made by him, and they can't get over that one. Well, if everything was made by him, I thought God made everything. So how does Christ get in on this deal? There was nothing made that wasn't made by him. Colossians said he created all things. Talking about Christ. Well, Genesis, back in Genesis, said God created. So you asked him, was that a little God or was that a big God during the creation? See, they got problems all over the place. All over the place. Another one, I took their own Bible, chapter 16. John is a book you can kill him out of. John 16. In John chapter 16, starting in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, a person, him. That's the way it is in the New World Translation. I said, here's one y'all forgot. Y'all say he's a force. The Bible says he's a person. And it's written like that in the New World Translation. They missed it. And three other places it used him and he. I said, that doesn't sound like a force. That sounds like a person. As a matter of fact, third person of the Godhead. So how do you answer that? And I guarantee you, tell them to take out the New World Translation and go through this with them and say, well, it says here that he's a person. I say that lines up with Paul's writing, because Paul said, grieve not the Spirit. You can't grieve a hurricane. That's a force. You grieve a person. So they got all kinds of problems. And I promise you, I could go through the book and show you place after place after place. You could hit them with a left or right hook, and they speechless. One guy came to my house. This guy's got one arm with a 12-year-old son. Tried to witness to me. I invited him in. I said, come on, y'all come in and sit down. Y'all want some water, whatever? And after about 10, 15 minutes, my wife is pulling me off of him. I said, no, he needs to know because this kid is going to come up. Oh, not one question could he answer of the Godhead. Not one. So he concedes after about an hour. He said, well, I don't know the Bible like you. So I'd like to bring an elder. I said, you can go get him right now. I'll be here. I'll wait. He said, no, I'm going to come later. A couple of days later, sure enough, he come with the elder. He breaks in the house. Well, my, shut up. Here's how this is going to go. You're not going to dominate here. We're going to have a dialogue. Point, counterpoint. You want to do that? Yeah. Okay. Well, you go first. That's what they expect. I always give them something different. Because they expect you to go to John 1:1 because that's the biggest punch. But I never do. I go other places. I say, explain, name this. And I, the same thing I asked one of the other ones, John chapter 16, why, and I go, when I got his Bible, I said, why y'all say he's a he here and everywhere else he's a force? I said, which is he? He is. Oh, well, you know, they got some translation that was on recall. I said, well, what about the people who died after they read the ones before y'all recalled them? Did they go to hell? Y'all had error in your Bible? No, you don't understand. So I asked the guy three questions. I said, okay, if Paul writes this, talking about the great in God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, he said, well, I can't answer that. So I asked him a second question and a third question. You know what he told me? He said, I guess I'm 0 for 3, huh? I said, yeah, you wouldn't stay in the majors long gone 0 for 3. I said, you're right, you're 0 for 3. I said, you know why? Because these are simple answers to simple questions. But you don't camp out here. You camp out in other places which seem to me doctrine right, but you got that totally out of context. I said, let me ask you, you an elder, if you don't meet your quotas with watchtowers, you know, I said, everybody that's popped up at my door, they don't want to talk about the Bible. You want to give me some kind of track that's gonna mold me into what y'all believe. I said, let's use the scripture. Y'all use the scripture, right? Oh, yeah, we got the best translation. I said, yes, you do, but it's just got so much mess in it. You can't prove nothing from it. I said, what your translation is a mere suggestion. If you believe this, you might get to heaven. And the last one I asked, I said, you're an elder. I said, are you in the number of the 144? You going to be in heaven, or you going to be on earth, or what is it? You know, I said, because, you know, y'all made many predictions that the, y'all said 144,000 is the one that's going to heaven. And I said, where the rest of y'all going? I said, that's why you had to change your doctrine, because once y'all pass 144, you got to create something. Now you're going to a heaven on earth. I said, oh, by the way, that's where it's going to be anyway. I said, that's where we're all going to be. So what are you preaching? What are you, how does that make you feel? Any? I said, come on now. I said, after y'all passed 144 elders, I said, oh, by the way, I went to the Bible. I said, which one of these tribes are you from? What do you mean? I said, well, 144,000 is Israel. That's Jews. Y'all are Jews? I said, you're talking about 12 from the 12 tribes. So how are you going to put the Jehovah's Witness in that place and said, oh, this is the... It's just, the doctrine's so jacked up and it's so easy to beat down. It really is. It is so easy to beat down. I'll make you a list. I'll give you a list. And you can, just questions that. And it's going to be about 2 or 3 pages. And you'll get zero answer. Now, you'll get a scramble answer that makes it sound like they know what they're talking about. They don't. And the other group, the one my nephew's a part of, I used to date this girl. And I hadn't seen her in years. I was down by the Superdome one day, and I saw her. She said, Al? I said, yeah. Hey, Linda, how you doing? Staunch Christian she used to be. She belonged to the church. She said, oh, I've learned so much about my Savior. I said, oh, good, good. You're still going to the same church? She said, oh, no. Oh, metaphysical. What do you call it? The metaphysical whatever. That's the little crowd. That's the little clan. She said, oh, no, I'm on metaphysical now. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, don't tell me because you used to talk scripture. Oh, don't tell me about no Trinity. Don't tell me. How would you explain the Trinity? And don't give me no ice and water. I said, well, when I get to heaven, I might be able to explain it to you. I can't now, but I know it exists. I can go through the Bible and show you, you know, it's God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father. Same attributes. All of them are holy and without sin. I can show you that. Now, you can call it what you want to. Call it anything you want to. Oh, I know what you was going to say now. Well, if you knew what I was going to say, why'd you ask the question? But around and around and around. You know, another little guy growing up, we played ball together. And, man, I was the one that they really admired because, man, this guy here, he drives a pretty car. You know, all the things that, you know, before you get saved that mean so much to you. Talk to him. Couple of years later, he is Islam. Yeah, brother, I'm in the nation now. I said, Greg, you. I said, what makes it better than, and I never known him to be a Christian, so I guess that's the first thing he was indoctrinated to. I said, well, what makes it, what sold you on it, what makes, oh, brother, it's just, you know, it's just so involved. You know, you're helping your people. And I said, well, who's your people? Well, I'm not the black Muslim now. So I said, well, who's your people? Well, you know, brother, we've been oppressed. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, who's God's people? Well, what do you mean? I said, well, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So that means everybody was God's people. God loved everybody. So you got a little group that you love and another little group that you don't love? Anyway, long story short, fast forwarding, I talked to him about, what would Ray Nagin? He was Ray Nagin's right-hand guy. You might know him. Talked to him a couple of years after. He said, where you been, man? He's living in Monroe. He had moved to Monroe. I said, I've been good. How you been? Man, I've been great, man. Man, I'm a Christian now. I said, good for you. Good for you. You know, and it shows you that God's got a way of humbling you. I didn't talk him into being a Christian. I tried. Another friend was the same. I tried to talk him one night on the phone all night just about witnessing to him. He was with some Armstrong. That's who he was with. And man, we grew up together as teenagers and stuff. And one day I was by his office, hadn't talked to him, you know, didn't know, thinking he was the same thing, you know, Armstrong. So I'm walking by his desk and there's this tape. We was listening to cassette tapes at the time by Adrian Rogers. So I'm going, uh-oh. Because I know if you listen to Adrian Rogers, you'll believe him. So I asked him, I said, well, Mel, I said, where are you going to church? He said, oh, man, you know, I'm a believer now. You know, and I'm saying to myself, well, God, you got a sense of humor, because I was on the phone with him one night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't convince him. This is the soul-watering principle that God talks about. God said, I'll do the increase. It may take you 5 years. But if you share with them, no matter who you talk to, metaphysical, Jehovah's Witness, Catholics, always make sure you get the gospel in. Give them the gospel. You know, and you don't have to say, well, here's what you believe, but here's what I always say. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe the death of Christ was for my sin. My sin killed him. They buried him because that's what you do with dead people. So he was graveyard dead. That means that if sin killed him, it could never kill me again. If I believe in the resurrection. Now, if I don't, I got no chance. Because in those verses, it says, by which you are saved. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15. It's a go-to. There's a requirement here. You ask the world, did Christ die? And 99% of them will say, yes, he died. Well, what about resurrection? Oh, I don't know about all that. So that means is that you're still dead in your sins. You're still dead in your sins. You never got out of condemnation. And that's what the gospel is, taking you out of condemnation, putting you in Christ. None of these other isms can do that. You're trying to do it on the energy of your flesh, and it will never, ever work. And Satan is so clever, he makes you think that you're going in the right direction. Paul thought he was going in the right direction. Now, God ain't going to knock everybody off donkey or whatever you're riding, but he sure is going to put it in your ear by that our job. We put it in people here. Here's the gospel. You want to be saved, here's the only way. Your bill has come due, and the cost of it is death. Somebody had to pay it, and it had to be somebody who had never been dead before because they never had a sin problem. And that only person is Jesus Christ. I know it sounds bigot. You know, like Greg used to say, the most bigoted statement in the Bible, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Think about it. Either that's true, or Jesus Christ is a demon if he ain't the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Corinthians 15 says, plain and simple, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, but the gospel. I tell people that there's a whole bunch of Home Depots, but ain't but one the Home Depot. That's a definite article. The gospel, and that is the good news. That's the gospel. It says that, which I preach unto you, which you also have received. Folks, you got to receive it. You got, you know, it's out there dangling on a string, that's me and you, to be shared with the world, but we can't make them receive it. And see, that's the problem with most of us. We scared to witness, because somebody might reject you. They ain't rejecting you. They rejecting him. Paul said, what you receive? And later Paul going to say, I received it. Paul said, the only way I got saved is I received it. Here's a gift. What do you do with a gift? Pay for it? Well, that's what religion is. You receive it or you reject it. Man, I can offer you a Rolls Royce and a Bentley. You don't have to take it. See, I don't want that. And that's what the world does. We don't want it. We like our system. Jehovah's Witness, we like our system. We like our chances. Paul says, by what you have received and wherein you stand, how many people don't choose to stand in the gospel? Now, to stand is not to move. I'm moving. Now, I'm standing. I ain't moving because this is where I am. This is the only place I need to be. I'm going to stand in the gospel message. And you got people that walk an aisle and say, I believe. 3 or 4 weeks later, they're right back where they were. What, did you ever believe? That's why Paul's going to go on and talk about believing in vain. Watch. He said, by which also you are saved. Now, that's the important thing. This gospel, whatever Paul's about to say, it's the only method to be saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Simply not believe. You know, intellectually say you believe, but you really didn't. And another part of this, most people give the gospel. It's a loaded gospel. Repent of your sins. Stop doing this. Ask God. Tell God. Do this. Do that. And yet the Bible said, believe on the death, burial, and resurrection, and thou shalt be saved. Now, what happened to that other stuff? Well, here's cleaning it up in the mix. The other side of the equation is people think that salvation or to be saved is forgiveness. Folks, it comes with the package, but move on. God can't give you righteousness or justify you until he forgives you, but that's done. So if I hang out on the porch of forgiveness, if I hang out on the porch of my behavior, if I hang out anywhere else, you're going to have a problem because you'll never understand what salvation is. Folks, God so loved the world. Who's the world? The most wicked place in the world. Well, you mean to tell me God, yeah, he so loved you so he could come and save you. And let me tell you something, don't tell nobody, keep this among the little group here. Salvation is life. His life. His resurrected life. You die with him at crucifixion. You rose with him in his resurrection. Now you become brand new. Old things start to become what? New things, right? Because they passed away. I am a brand new creation. You've been regened. You've been, your spirit's been raised and made alive. That same spirit that died in Adam is made alive in the last Adam. This is the most important thing that a Christian, if a Christian get this wrong, guess what? Everything else is. And that's where these people are, folks. And that's why it's so important. Give them the gospel. You know, Paul said, for by it you're saved. Well, that's what I need to know. Saved. And then Paul says, look, for I delivered unto you at first that which I also received. In other words, Paul said, it was a gift to me. I was going crucifying Christians, getting letters from the high authorities to go and persecute people who was talking about the way. But when God showed me his son, God says, Paul, he got up. He didn't want to get you up, Paul, because you are still dead in your sins. I don't care how religious you are, you're dead in your sins. Paul says, so when I received that, and just read the life of Paul. God just flipped him totally around. And all these people, that's why it's so important to give them the gospel, because a lot of zealots who would walk in 105-degree temperature passing out pamphlets if they weren't sincere. So God looks at a man and says, okay, you're sincere. Let me give you the sincere truth. Because what you're preaching now, it's a hell's gospel. Ain't but one gospel. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul says, delivered unto you, which he also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And he was buried, which is customary for dead people. You bury him. He was graveyard dead. He died. My sin, your sin, killed him. The world's sin killed him. That's why he's no longer imputing sin. Can't. Total debt has been paid. Paul said, don't you understand that he was buried and rose again the third day according to scripture? That's the two parts of seen, folks. God so loved the world, he died. Whosoever believed, he resurrected. Y'all see how this goes? It's not complicated, is it? But don't fall for the rope-a-dope, all right? Because it's just a distraction. Just a distraction. I was told a story. The pastor was on a flight writing his sermon, and there's this atheist sitting next to him. And he asked the pastor, he says, you believe all that stuff written in that book? He said, yes, I do. He said, well, explain to me how a man, and this is what I'm telling you, how a man can live in a fish 3 days and three nights. So the pastor says, God didn't tell me how he did it, just told me he did it, and I believe it. He said, but he won't tell you how. He said, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. He said, well, what if he ain't there? He said, well, you ask him. Y'all will get that tomorrow. But anyway, that's where these people are, folks. They lost. Sincere, but sincerely lost. And we got the keys to the kingdom. We got the keys to heaven. Just give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. That's what all this is about. Y'all see how simple it is? That's why Paul said, I'm afraid you're going to get away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Everything is simple in Christ because in Christ the work is completed. He's seated at the right hand, which, oh, by the way, is where I am. Jehovah's Witness, where are you? They're afraid the death of God. That's why they work so hard. Most religions. If I can do a little bit more, God's going to say, look at that dude. Well, yet he looked down at you and said, you're lost. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You need to be made alive. So you're in one or two places. You're dead in Adam, or you're alive in Christ. No compromise. Lord, again, we thank you for the gospel. And it's everything to me. I know me. And asked me if what I can do. You came down looking for me, a lost sinner. Offer me life. You offer me eternal life. And this eternal life is only in your Son. And that makes it so simple. You're old. heaven, but they can believe 100% of their faith. No. It's got that promise. And again, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Christ, who made it all possible. In his name I pray. Amen.